and, you know, hunger for God and thirst for God. And, you know, one of the things that the questions that people ask many times is, why do they pray, or why do they engage in spiritual activity and then they don't really get results, you know? And that's one of the things that you will find people struggle with, that they engage in spiritual activity, prayer, fasting. And I know it's that time of the year as a church, we're praying, we're fasting. And we are also in that time where we are seeking God, where we're reevaluating our positions, where we are in our workplaces, what we want to achieve for the year. You know, just taking stock of the last year and asking, are we where we're supposed to be? You know, there are questions that you ask yourself, am I where I'm supposed to be, or am I behind schedule, or am I ahead of schedule? You know, am I fulfilling my purpose, or am I just, you know, just clocking the numbers? You know, there are many times that you'd find that there's always this question of where are we, and what are we doing with our life? And there will always be all this, you know, New Year resolutions. And it's always interesting how, you know, everyone writes, you know, they'll lose weight, you know, they will study, they will do this, they will do this. And many times you find that those resolutions break within the first week or the first few days. And that ideally is often a question of priorities. And one of the biggest things that we must always ask ourselves is, what is really our hunger? What is really that which that we thirst for? And what is that really that can truly satisfy? And I want us to read from Isaiah 55, and we're going to look at some of the verses there, and then by the grace of God, draw some conclusions from it. So the Bible says, Isaiah 55, I'll read from New King James. It says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money on for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance." Verse 3, "Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people." Verse 5, "Surely you shall call a nation who you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." Now, just to take a pause there, you have to ask yourself, who is speaking and who is being spoken to? And you have to remember, Isaiah is a prophet that was speaking to the Israelites in exile. And one of the things that he tries to address to them is that he's trying to show them that, look here, there is a hunger that you have, that you're looking for things that do not truly satisfy. You know, we often think that, oh, when I get a job, or when I get this level of salary or this kind of position, it's going to satisfy. And that is a place where many people get lost at, because they expect satisfaction, you know, in material things, in family. You know, at times someone says, okay, when I get married, this is what is going to change. I'm going to be satisfied. I'm going to be happy. Or someone says, okay, when I get a child, of course, I've been waiting for this. I'm going to be excited. This is going to do. Or when I get a job, then when I get a promotion, when I shift to the UN, or, you know, when I move to another country, I go international. There's always like an extra thing on the human scale that we are always looking for. But you see, God invites us to come to the place where he offers things that we can buy without money. And he says, come to the waters. And here, you know, when he speaks about waters, he speaks about the vastness of the Spirit. You know, God is so vast, and thank God that we have an ocean here. Many times if you go to the ocean, you'll be able to see how vast the ocean is. I mean, you can think about the ocean, you can't see beyond it. And even if you were to go down, humans still have not yet reached the bottom of the ocean. because there's still life there that is not yet even discovered. But that is the vastness of the ocean, and you can think of how creation, God uses creation to teach us spiritual things. So he says, now come to the waters. Now he's telling you and I, come to the place of abundance, come to the depths, come to the place where God is, to the place where he is unsearchable, where, you know, we want to seek him, we want to find him, and yet even the more that we seek him, the more that we discover that we do not know him, the more that we discover that we still don't know him as much as we think of. And you can think of now how he tells them that come to the waters and everyone that is thirsty. So, you know, when the invitation, and that's the thing about God, is God is does never, or rather he does not force on anyone himself. And that's the beauty of God. He offers himself, he shows himself, he shows his beauty, he shows his providence, he shows his goodness to every human being, but there is no single day that God will ever impose his will on us. It is always a choice that man has to make, a choice. And the choice that he asks is, to everyone that is thirsty, there is a place of an abundance. There is a place where you're going to receive. There is a place where God is going to release so much of his abundance. And that abundance is available. And you see, when he compares about the hunger, you know, hunger and thirst is equal. God is saying, I am equal to your hunger and thirst. You know, and that's what I was saying, like you can be, you know, praying and fasting, but if your hunger is not for God, then it just becomes like, you know, like you've just spent the day hungry or you've tortured yourself. But if we hunger and thirst for the presence of God, then God is in equal measure to meet our hunger and to meet our thirst. And that's why he says that everyone who thirsts, it's a call. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. And you can think about it when he's speaking about, you know, what is available. One is the waters. The waters is the vastness of the spirit. Then he speaks about, you know, come buy wine and milk. And you know, when God speaks about the wine, speaks about, you know, the joy, because wine, the Bible says, wine gladdens the heart. There is a joy that God gives us when we come to him. The wine, when you've encountered the Spirit of God, when you've encountered the Word of God, and then now you come to the milk, that is the nourishing of the Word of God, because like newborn babes, you're supposed to crave pure spiritual milk. And he says, all this you can get without money and without price. And someone will ask, so how do you, you know, how do you buy without money and without price? And, you know, in this kingdom, it is possible to get things. It is possible to buy. It is possible for God to give you beyond even your ask. Why? Because, I mean, if God is to heal you, let's say you're unwell today and God heals you, that is not something that you can buy. That's not something that you can quantify with money. Because the reality is health, you might go to the best doctors. The doctors will tell you, we treat, yes, but it is God that heals. Because at the end of the day, there are many people who are the best clinicians, who are the best doctors, but then there was no capacity to save them. Why? Because this is the realm where you have to depend on God. And as we, you know, as we start this year, as we start, you know, seeking God, as we start, you know, thinking through our lives, then we need to ask ourselves, what are the things that are we receiving from God, that or that we desire of God, of our spiritual life? What is that thing that we hunger to see in our lives? And you see, many times you can be comfortable, you know, especially when there are no complaints or when there are no challenges, you know, there's no sickness, there's no job loss. It's very easy to be comfortable when everything is going right. And that was, you know, one of the biggest concerns that Jesus, that the scriptures warn the Israelites, that when you get to that land and it's flowing with milk and honey, do not forget the Lord your God. Do not think that it is your own hands that has achieved it. You know, if you can think about the hunger that, or the prayer or the desire for God that was there in your youth or in a time when you didn't have what you have now, then was it at the same level or your hunger has gone down? And you see, this is about coming to the waters and being thirsty and having a hunger for God. Now, God shows us that, you see, there is a place of abundance. You know, it's an invitation to an abundant life. Come to the place of abundance and I can give you true joy for your soul that will satisfy you. You know, and he's saying, why do you spend your money on what is not bread? You know, what is not of the word of God? What is not of Christ? Because Christ, he is the bread of life. Why do we spend our wages on what does not satisfy? You know, if you ever ask yourself, I mean, like, if you look back at all your expenditures and all that, what are the things that are for the kingdom of God? What are the things that are investments in the things of God, of our time, of our money, of our energy, you know, of our the meditations of our hearts? What are the things that actually give us joy? And if we are to understand the scriptures, he's saying there is a place that you can come to and that I can fill you. And you see, this is similar to the conversation that Jesus had, you know, with the woman at the Samaritan woman at the well. And the woman had, I mean, she'd had six husbands, five husbands, and the one that she had was not her own, so she was on the sixth. And she did not understand, she'd not yet met Christ. And the person who was asking him for water was not asking because he was thirsty, but because he was asking because he is able to give her living water. So you can see there is this exchange that comes when we are dealing with the things of God. There is that which God gives us, or that which God asks us to release to him, and then there is that which he is able to give us more. So you can see there is that divine exchange that comes, that as the, you know, the spirit says come, also the bride says come. So there is that interlocking or that intercourse that is necessary when we are hungering and thirsting for God. And that's why we're saying, why do you spend on that which does not satisfy? Why do you spend your wages? But if you listen to God, if you listen to him, he says you will eat what is good and your soul will delight in abundance. Now, it's interesting how he gives the example of hearing, and he says that, so you come, or maybe the first part is that you come to God. There's a hunger that you come to him. And then as you come, you're going to eat what he gives you. But also as you eat the word, as you read the word, then you need to hear. Now, he gives us the example of David. And he says, look here, if you want to understand how I, God, interact with men, look at David. And he says, look at how I made a covenant with David. He says that, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. And he says, indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people. Why is David a witness? Because David is one who was brought from nothing. You know, when he was brought from taking care of his father's sheep, forgotten by his own father. In fact, you know, there are theologians that argue that he wasn't really a true son, or he was, you know, the son of a lady who's not a true wife and born out of wedlock. And because of that, he was considered not really a true son, considered a bastard. And that's why his father could not consider him. And maybe that's why he also says, in iniquity I was conceived. But when you think about David, how God lifted him from that place in the wilderness, taking care of his father's sheep, and made him commander over the Israelites, made him commander over all of Israel. And you can think of how God is disappointed when David sins, and he says that, David, don't you remember that I pulled you out of, you know, your father's sheep, and I made you commander, and I gave you the house of Saul, of your master Saul, and made you commander over Israel? And he says, and if that were little, I would have even given you more. You see, God is trying to show that, look here, when you come to me, you understand how I interact with men. I interact with men by covenant. You know, I interact with human beings on the basis of how they have hungered and how they have thirsted with me. And if you can think about David, David is really a man that really hungered for the presence of God. You see, he's someone that cries out that as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs for you. You can see how he will say, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. How he will say, I would rather be a doorkeeper, you know, in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. There was a hunger that David had, that he knew that even when he messed up, he cried and say that, God, do not take away the Holy Spirit from me. Do not take it. Do not cast me away from your presence. There is a hunger that David has that even when he stays in a house of cedar and he says, how can I stay in a house of cedar and the Ark of the Covenant, Ark of God dwells in tents? You know, he is the one that seeks out the Ark of the Covenant. And it is brought, you know, and of course he makes a mistake. He attempts to bring it. Uzzah, you know, suffers for that. But eventually he still manages to bring it. You know, there is a hunger that David had. And this God is saying, look here, I have given you David as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander of the people. And he says, surely you shall call a nation you do not know. Now, these are promises for those who have come to sit, those who have come to eat, those who have hunger, those who have come to drink of the waters, those who have come to take of his wine, to take of the milk of the Lord. And when you have come to him, then he says that now, look at, I have given you a witness. There's an example. You see, one of the things with God is that everything that he does, he's done it before. You know, when you think about Jesus, when Jesus multiplies bread, you go back, Elisha multiplied bread. You know, there is a thing that everything, even Solomon says that there is nothing new under the sun, that which we are seeing today has been there before and it shall still be done. So with God, there are things that he's saying, that there is a covenant that I made with David. I made an everlasting covenant with David, and I can make and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. And this is a question I will ask you. I mean, what are the covenants that you know that you have with God? What are the things that God has spoken to you? What are the things, the promises that God has spoken to you in the place of prayer, in the place of reading the word, or meditating on the word of God, in the place of your communion with him, in the place of your hunger? What are the things that God has spoken to you that even when you tell others, it sounds like a joke? Because in your mind, it does not make sense how it shall even come to be. But you see, when God does it, he says, I have given you a witness. And he says, what does he say? Verse 5, surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, has glorified you. For he has glorified you. There's something that God does when to those that have come to him, to those that have asked of his help, to those that have encountered him. There is a glorification that God gives you, that you know this is not of your human effort. I mean, if it was about those who could talk, there are people who can talk better. If it's about those who are smart, there are people who are smarter. If it's about those with papers, there are those with multiple PhDs and all that. But you see, when God says that, because you have eaten, because you have hungered and thirsted for me, then I am the one who is going to show you, to hear, to give you something to hear. You shall eat of me, you shall live. And then in the same way that I gave you a witness, David, I can do the same with you. That's why David says he raised us from the miry clay, you know, and he sat us on a rock. You know, he says that he lifted us, the poor, from the dust and made them to sit with the princes. There are things that God is going to do in your life. There are things that God is going to do with your life when you submit to him, when you come to that place of hunger, when it's not just about, you know, it's not just about wasting away on your own desires, but you ask God to fill you with a hunger for his presence, to fill you with a hunger for him. You know, the things when we're meeting the Holy Spirit, as we said, he is a gentle spirit. That means he does not force himself on us. And I remember there was a statement I had recently where someone was preaching and he said that God can command you or he can suggest to you. It all depends on you. That means that the Holy Spirit, there are those who will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and they will hear it as a command. And there are those who will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and they will hear it as a suggestion. But all in all, it's actually the same voice of God. Now, it is your posture to God that determines how he ministers to you or how you deal with him or how he deals with you. Because now he says that, now if you follow, if you come, you eat, then you hear, then the covenants come in, and then now the glorification comes in. Because he's saying that, look here, even nations that you do not know can come to you. Even nations that you do not know will run to you. People you've never met will just come and favor you. Why? Because it is God who has loved you. Now let's look at verse 6. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And this actually is just speaking of, you know, the aspects of the mercy of God. Now, why is it necessary to seek God while he may be found? You know, and this is the aspect of grace. Grace is always time bound. And that's something that you must always understand, that the mercies of God exist while we are alive. You know, it say that it's appointed once for man to die and then judgment. But you see, God has made it that as long as we are still alive, his mercies are new every morning. So there is always mercy that is available for each and every one of us. As long as we are alive, as long as we wake up, there is mercy that is available. And he's saying that you can come boldly to the throne of mercy and receive grace. And that's why he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. That means that God is not too far away from us. If we are looking for him, he is not in the farness that we think of farness in terms of distance, but he is in the farness of as much as we are ready to submit ourselves and to humble ourselves before him. And that's why he says, if we are coming to God, there are things that we must leave aside. You know, these are not the times where you will, you know, we can't be dangling, you know, between, you know, the world and Christ. And that's where many go wrong, because yes, God is calling you to him. Yes, he's telling you, you're my servant. These are not things I need of you. These are not the things I expect you to be at. But a part of you still feels like, oh yeah, you know, I can't do all of this. This is my relaxation. This is what. But you see, there are places that God wants to be the one that he feels that delight. You know, that place that takes your satisfaction, that is the place that God says that if you can set your affections, you know, when it says Colossians 2, 3 verse 2, it says, set your heart on things above. Set your affections on things above where Christ is. So there is a place where we on the earth are supposed to set our affections. Now, when you have submitted to God, then now the promises come. Look at verse 8. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. And he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, he's just trying to say that, you know, when God asks us to do things, they don't look like it makes sense to us. And that's the thing, that's the place about hearing from God. And anyone that has heard the voice of God will make decisions that to men will not add up. It will not make sense at that point. But then if you have heard from God, I will assure you, your best place of being at is in the place of obedience. Now, he tells you that, look here, my thoughts are not at your level. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And this is God saying that his ways are not our ways. And if you can think how the heavens are higher than his way, than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways. And he says, verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing that I have sent it. Ask yourself, what has God said? What has God promised? What are the promises that God has said? What has God revealed to you, be it in dreams, be it in visions, be it in your heart, be it in prophecies? You see, when Timothy is told, contend with the prophecies that have been spoken over you, wage war with them. There are things that God has promised. And he's saying, he's still reminding us today, you have hungered, you have thirsted, you're seeking me in the place of prayer. You're coming to the place where you buy. I'm giving you the example. I'm telling you, I've done this with David. I will do it again. It's a witness I've given you. He's saying, now find me, look for me while it's available. Turn away from sin. And then he says, now I'll give you my word. And when my word comes, as surely as the water, as the rain comes from the sky, it does not reach the ground and go back to the sky without accomplishing what he sent it for. And what does the word do? The word makes you increase. It brings forth and buds. It gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That means if you need seed, God will give you. If you need bread, God will give you. That means that God is able to give you not only just for today, but also what you can use for tomorrow. That means that, remember, the blessing is always in the seed. The seed comes and then it still multiplies and it multiplies. So God is able to give you things that are sustainable, that multiply itself, and they are able to grow in themselves. And the Bible says, whatever God has sent, his word. And that's why I want to ask you, as you hunger, as you pray, as you fast, as you seek God, what are the words that God is speaking to you? Are you noting them down? What are the words that God has spoken in the past? You know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, apart from stirring us in prayer and helping us in prayer, is that he also brings scriptures to us. He also reminds us of things that God has spoken. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And that is why as you pray, as you seek his face, then you must continually be sensitive to the voice of God. Verse 12 tells us, for you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of their thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be for the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You know, as you pray, and one of the things that you must know, that God answers us through his peace. That's why he says, you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. There is a peace that surpasses human understanding, even when it looks like it's not working. That is what God does. He sends us out in peace. But also beyond that, how do you also know that your prayer is answered? Also the joy that God gives you in the place of prayer. You're praying over something and you burst forth into a song. Your spirit just breaks forth into a song. You're just walking and you just start feeling or hearing a song in your spirit. That means there's an answer, that there's a rejoicing in your inner man of what God has done. You might not see it at that point, but God has done it. And then there's also that peace. But also beyond that, there is a confidence that God just gives you a confidence in the place of prayer that I have done this. God is saying that you will not be like those who are chased away. You know, at times there are scriptures that you get that you know that you're being led out. Even if you're going out, you're going out in peace. Why? Because this is the work of the Lord. And he's saying, you know what? Where it looks like there are thorns, a cypress tree shall come out. Where it looks like there's a briar, a myrtle tree shall come out, you know. And when you think of the myrtle tree, what that does remind you? Reminds you of Jacob when he, you know, the poplar tree, between the myrtle tree and the poplar tree, where he will just put those animals and they will look and they will multiply. Even when it looks impossible, God is going to do something in your life. And the starting point, as we said, is the hunger and thirst for God. Where is our hunger? Where are our affections? Where is our love? What is our passion? And that's a question that God keeps asking us. In your prayer, as you're praying, what are you asking for? Are you just praying for the sake of praying? What is it that you desire? What is that that is aligned to the kingdom of God that is going to make a difference in your life, that is going to make an impact for the church, that is going to make an impact for the generations to come? There's a point where we must stop being, you know, us, but we must ask ourselves, God, what is it that you want? What is it that you want us to make for your glory, for the kingdom of God? And I assure you, when our hunger and our thirst shifts, then God is able to fulfill everything that he has desired to do and accomplish in us. I just thought, let me just give this word of encouragement, and I'll stop here, and I'll welcome any reflections or any aspects in your heart, and then definitely we'll pray together at the end. So I'll leave it open, and you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Soma. You know, this is very interesting that we have to be sensitive to what God is saying, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and this reminder, this teaching that you gave us today, in terms of knowing the covenant of God, knowing that God, he wants to have a covenant with us, and knowing, reminding us that he has done it before, that there is nothing that is new. It reminds me, one of my favorite verses from Jeremiah, the one where he says that, do you not know that I am the God of all flesh? Is there anything that is too difficult for me? You know, so from what you are saying there also, I think sometimes we allow ourselves to get worried. We allow worry, anxiety to get the better of us, and we lose our faith, and we lose the understanding, we lose our identity in Christ, our identity in God. So we start to doubt God and to not put our full trust in him. But these verses that you have read, the encouragement that they've given us today, is really reminding us to know that he is the God who made a covenant with David. And because of that covenant, David, his mercies, you know, he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above any human expectation. So, you know, I just want to say thank you for that word of encouragement. It was really packed, and it's going to help me as an individual to also reflect in terms of some of the things when I am in difficult moments. This is going to come handy. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Welcome, any reflections? Good to see you, Jacqueline. You're well. Happy New Year. Welcome, Emmanuel.